Amen, Nathan. Thanks for sharing that with us. And the ladies did another fine job on the offertory. That's a nice song. I went years in between hearing that song. I don't know where I first heard it, but when we came here, they started, you know, I guess it was a staple for you guys, and I thought, man, I hadn't heard that song in ages, but I like it. It's a good song. Well, it's St. Patrick's Day, and so I thought I'd deviate a little bit from the normal plan, which is, and it's the best plan, by the way. I admit that I'm probably not it's like eating Frosted Flakes in the morning. You don't want a steady diet of it. But every once in a while, you need something different. And I'm just going to take a man from history and try to learn some lessons that can teach us about God, teach us about missions. We've been talking about evangelism a lot, haven't we? So this sort of ties in that way. Lessons from godly Patrick. I don't call him Saint Patrick. I mean, I do when I'm not thinking about it. And you'll see why in a minute. We'll talk about that just briefly, but this is probably more what he looked like. That's not what you're thinking when you think of Saint Patrick, is it? I'll show you in a second what you think of. But I want to ask you first, what do you think about, let's do word association. What do you think about when I say Saint Patrick's Day? Leprechauns, shamrock, rainbows, pots of gold. So I did a Google search for St. Patrick's Day. This is the page that came up. Now I had it on Safe Search, but I took Safe Search off and nothing happened. It stayed exactly the same. So you know, when we think of St. Patrick's Day, maybe you thought of parties. There's Patrick's Day's parade, St. Patrick's Day's party. So you can see them circled there. Parties came up in my Google search. Maybe you thought of leprechauns. I heard leprechauns mentioned. That came up in my Google search all over the place in the Google search, four different places. There, I probably missed some. I stopped circling. Nobody said beer because we're in church and everybody's ashamed to say it, but everybody thinks of green beer on St. Patrick's Day, and Guinness showed up there on the far right and the word beer on the left. You can think it. You just don't go crazy, okay, guys? What else? What do I have? What do I have there? Three-leaf clover. We'll talk about the three-leaf clover in a second. In fact, there's a lot about St. Patrick's Day that has really nothing to do with St. Patrick. Almost all the things that I mentioned just now have absolutely nothing to do with St. Patrick. So we're going to get to some lessons about Patrick in a minute. But first, I want you to know some truth about who the man was. Because if you're going to, you know, this is a good gospel opportunity right here, by the way. Unsaved people love St. Patrick's Day. It's another excuse to party and get hammered, right? So, unsaved people celebrate it. You might run into some people today. You might run into some people this week. Hey, actually, this would be a good conversation starter. Did you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Well, yeah or no. If they did or if they didn't, say, hey, I heard an interesting sermon Sunday about Patrick. Would you like to know what he was really like? That'll blow their mind, because most people have never given a second thought to who he actually was. So when you hear the name St. Patrick, this is probably a little more accurately what you think about in your mind, about what he might have looked like. And this is not accurate, because this is more like a stylized version that came down through church history. It's like those pictures of Jesus on the cross. They're not very accurate, are they? I mean, was he blonde hair? Was he blue-eyed? No. In fact, even the ones that are more accurate are still inaccurate, because he was probably stripped naked, and they always have the loincloth on, and I'm glad they do. That's befitting the Son of God. But there's some things that are not true about Patrick that you probably didn't know. He was not born in Ireland. He's not even Irish. Did you know that? Where was he born? Who knows? Don't give it away. We'll talk about it in a second. I was asking Jennifer earlier this week, what do you know about Patrick? And she said, oh, he drove the snakes out. Now, I'm not saying you believed it. But the old story is he drove the snakes out of Ireland.
And frogs,
it goes. But nobody remembers the frogs part. That did not happen. That probably, that legend came up because, well, who was in the garden that tricked Eve? A snake. As it turns out, snakes are not indigenous to Ireland. And so it was just a legend that grew up later. He drove them out. That's why they're not there. No, they just never were there. He probably did not use a shamrock to explain the Trinity. Now, I just probably explained something that you didn't know to begin with. The shamrock that you see ubiquitously everywhere at St. Patrick's Day, it's legend has it that Patrick took the shamrock, which is a three-leaf clover, to explain the Trinity. One God, right? Three persons, one plant, three leaves. He probably never did that. It probably didn't happen. He was never canonized by the Roman Catholic Church. So really, technically, it's inaccurate to call him Saint Patrick, because he was never canonized as a saint. And of course, no connection to green beer whatsoever. So, who was Saint Patrick? Who was he? Well, in three words, he was a Scotsman. He was Scottish. What we would call Scottish today. He was a slave, and he was also a missionary. He was sent by God. I think it's helpful to know a little bit about his story. So I'm going to show you a little map of modern-day United Kingdom. You can sort of see in kind of grayed out there, but Ireland is on the left-hand side. It's that island to the west of Great Britain. And modern day, it would be England on the bottom and Scotland on the top. He was born in what at the time was called Britain, but today we would call it Scotland. That's where he was born. You notice that the Irish territory, you see that yellow or that orangish yellow, it sort of extended into the Scottish peninsula there. And so that's where he was born. And when he turned 16, by the way, when was he born? We don't know exactly, but this is going back a long time ago. If you think George Washington is ancient history, hold on to your hats. This guy was born before 400 AD. He was born around 385, 390 AD. And if you think about it, man, that is a lot closer to Christ than we are, isn't it? He was born only about 350 or 360 years after Jesus died and ascended back to heaven. I think that's pretty fascinating. But when he turned 16, about 405 or 406 AD, thereabouts, some Irishmen raided the Scot Isles or the Britain, and they took some people captive, including Patrick. And he remained a slave for 6 long years, shepherding his master's sheep. I guess there are worse jobs you could be assigned as a slave, but still nobody wants to be a slave. And it was while, this is interesting, his father was a churchman. His father was a deacon. And his uncle was a minister. But he rejected the faith of his parents. He was never a Christian until he became a slave. And during those 6 long years, Patrick turned to the God of his fathers, trusted Christ, and said, "I will do whatever you want me to do." And one night, maybe this is the stuff of legend, but he received a vision from God saying, "Escape, go back home." And so he did. He found a ship, and he went back home. He escaped from his master, went back to what we would call Scotland, and he enrolled in school there, where he learned to be a minister of the gospel. And it was there, while he was learning, that he received another vision. Whether it's true or not, I do not know. But it is said that he received a vision where he saw Irish children with their hands out to him saying, "Come, preach the gospel to us." Much like the Macedonian man called out to Paul in the book of Acts. And it was at that time that Patrick, the Scotsman, said, "I will return to Ireland and I will give the gospel to the Irish people." So what are some, now that we've got a very baseline knowledge, that's not a biography by any stretch of the imagination, but it's St. Patrick's Day. What can we learn from godly Patrick of Ireland that might draw us towards Christ today? And I hope that's the goal for this, is not for just to learn some cool facts about St. Patrick's Day or to learn something about the man behind the parade. I want you to be drawn towards Christ today. In fact, let's stop for a second and pray and ask the Lord to help us be drawn towards Christ. Father, Satan, the world, the flesh, and the devil tempt us all the time to draw our eyes away from you. Help us to be drawn towards Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. What can we learn from Godly Patrick of Ireland? Well, one thing that I think we can learn is that God's ability to save knows no boundaries. God's ability to save is boundaryless. It knows no boundaries. Patrick was born to Christian parents, and yet he was hauled off a slave to a pagan island. The island of Ireland at the time that Patrick was there was not dominated by Christianity. It was dominated by a pagan religion known as Druidism, or the Druid religion. Now, the Druids were pagans through and through. They worshipped false gods. Is anyone here? They conducted human sacrifice. You know, if you've had the misfortune of seeing the 2007 Nicolas Cage movie, Wicker Man, in that movie, which is horrible, I don't recommend going to see it. It's typical Nicolas Cage over-the-top acting. But at the end of the movie, there's this wicker. It's a giant statue made out of wicker, wood. Think of like a wicker chair that you would sit on, but with a door. And they put Nicolas Cage in it, and they set him on fire. They light the thing on fire, and he burns up as an offering to their false god. Well, that seemed ridiculous to me when I watched it. But as it turns out, it has some basis in truth. The Druids practiced that awful barbaric custom of building these wicker statues and putting not just one person, but people inside of them, and then lighting it on fire, offering them to their false gods. This is the island that Patrick was hauled off to, and God saved him there. He didn't save him safe in the confines of his Christian house. He saved him on a pagan island. You know, years and years ago, even the Jews believed this for a long time. They believed that the gods were localized. The Amalekites, they worshipped this god because that's where that god lived. The Moabites worshipped this god because that's where that god had power. The Assyrians worshipped that god because that's where that god had power. And we worship Yahweh because this is where Yahweh has power. But that was not true, was it? The prophets of God tried to tell them over and over again that God is God everywhere. Yahweh is God everywhere. He knows no boundaries. And his salvation, his ability to save, knows no boundaries. God can save anywhere and anytime, folks. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save." Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 23 says, "Am I a God at hand, declares the Lord, and not a God far away?" Imagine, if you will, the people that you think are farthest away from God and without hope. They are not without hope. God is a God that is near, and God is a God that is far at hand. He could have saved Patrick in his home with his Christian parents. He made him a slave before he did this. We see this illustrated by Jesus himself in Luke chapter 15 when he tells this story. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear him. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, as they often did, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he told them a story." He told them a parable. He said, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing." Guys, that's the God we serve. That's the God who saved you, by the way. The Bible says there is none that seeks after God. You're not saved today because you sought him. You're saved because he sought you. Amen. His ability to save knows no boundaries. What's something else we can learn from Patrick? Well, we can learn that God's love extends to all, including those people we don't think too fondly of, including enemies. Patrick was a missionary, wasn't he? In the truest sense of the word, he left home and went to another land, a land that did not know Christ, a pagan land, a land where he had been enslaved. I want you to imagine for yourself, when you're mistreated by a group and you're able to get out of that group, do you go back? Not usually. And I'm not saying it's always the right thing to go back, but he said, I'm going to follow God, not out of some altruistic endeavor to serve my fellow man, because they need Christ. Because those people, you know, he thought to himself, the reason they're enslaving people is because they don't know Christ. The reason they're putting people in statues and burning them alive is because they don't know Christ. The reason they're worshiping false gods is because they don't know Christ. They need Christ. Who else will give it to them? I'll do it. That's what he said. I love it. His love, Patrick's love, extended to people that were his enemies. He went to those who hated him because he loved God. Jesus said it this way, I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Here's the kicker. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't the tax collectors do the same thing? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Guys, we've all done it probably. You're in Walmart. You're pushing your cart along. Maybe you're on the baking aisle. That's where I spend half my time because I can't find what I'm looking for. So I know it's on the baking aisle somewhere. So I'm on the baking aisle, and you see somebody. You're like, oh. You immediately make a connection. Do I want to talk to that person, or do I not want to talk to that person? Now listen, some of us are introverts, right? And not everybody is as outgoing as everybody else. I'm not saying that, but let's say you're upset with that person. You're unhappy with that person. You've got a bone to pick with that person, or they've got a bone to pick with you. If your initial reaction is, oh, I'm going to turn around so they don't see me, or I'll put my hat lower, whatever the case may be, that is an honest initial reaction, but it's a reaction that we have got to overcome. Jesus said, if you only say, hey, to those people you like, you're just like unsaved people. God's love extends even to those people we don't like. It extends even to our enemies. Jesus from the cross illustrated this perfectly. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're ignorant. The reason they're doing what they're doing is because they don't see. They're blinded by Satan. And that's true. That's good for us, isn't it? That God shows his love for his enemies. Because the scripture says God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God showed his love to enemies. Who was it? You and me. I don't do this often. I think it can be overdone. But I want you to say a phrase with me. Repeat after me. I was an enemy of God. I was an enemy of God. That's true. You might not have felt that way. Doesn't matter how you feel. It matters what the scripture says. We were enemies of God. And God said, I don't care. I love them anyway. Here's my question. Like Patrick, does your love extend to your enemies? Does your love extend to people that you'd rather avoid? Third lesson that we can love. God's ability to save knows no boundaries. God's love extends to all, including enemies. Thirdly, God's power is greater than Satan's. You see, when Patrick returned to Ireland, there was a group of people there who didn't appreciate his arrival very much. Who do you think that was? The Druid priests. That's right. Just like Paul, when he went to Ephesus, and those people that made those little idols of Diana, they didn't like it too much because people started getting saved and they stopped buying their idols. So they caused a riot and they nearly tore Paul to pieces. Well, when Patrick got back to Ireland, people started getting saved. The Druidic priests took note and said, we have less followers now, less money. We got to do something to stop this guy. Now, if you read the literature, there's lots of legend that grows up about it. Supposedly, there was this great spiritual battle that took place between Patrick and some pagan priests, a la Elijah and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. There's no indication that that actually happened. But we do know from Patrick's own writings that he said this. Listen, in fact, I'll put it up on the screen for you. This is how he lived day to day. He said, daily I expect murder, fraud, or captivity. Just sit on that first sentence for a second. You know what I expect when I wake up in the morning? I expect it's going to be a good day. I'm not going to have a headache today. My kids are going to listen today. My wife won't be sick today. I'm going to get all my work done that I expect to get done today. My to-do list is going to be wiped out. It never happens. My email list will be completed. Life is going to be great. Patrick said, every day when I wake up, I expect to be killed. I expect to be taken advantage of. I expect to be made a slave again. And in fact, he was enslaved again and he escaped again. Did that bother him? No. Let's go on. But I fear none of these things. Wow. Because of the promises of heaven, I have cast myself into the hands of God Almighty, who rules everywhere. And he knew something that we in America need to be reminded of, is that when you're in the hands of God, there is no better place to be. If we are taken advantage of, glory to God. What happens to us when people take advantage of us? We complain about it all day for weeks and months. We complain about it when somebody does something unintentionally to hurt us. Here, Patrick goes to people knowing these people are not going to like me. They're probably going to take advantage of me. They're going to captivate me again. They're probably going to kill me. He did escape that, thank goodness. But he didn't care. He said, I fear none of these things. Patrick was not a coward in the face of satanic power. And that's what it was. These were not just people that didn't like Patrick, these were people that were doing deals with the devil. Druids. You think of the black arts, black magic, witchcraft. We don't see it in America. It was happening. He did not care. He was not a coward. In that vein, he followed the example of the apostles, didn't he? Did the apostles run away? No. Every one of them died for Christ, except for John. You see, Jesus, they understood, broke Satan's power at Calvary, at the cross. He took Satan's kingdom authority, the God of this world, and he broke that. So that anything that happens to you or me, like Job, if it happens, it's okay. Even if Satan does it, because nothing happens outside of the will of God. Amen? Amen. So who do you fear today? I have a question for you. You know, some people, they fear Satan. They live in fear of the mystical. I want to encourage you, if that's you. 1 John chapter 4 says, greater is he that is in you than he what? That is in the world. That's true. Don't be scared of those things. Satan can't touch you unless God allows it. Just like Job. Are you afraid of men? This is a big trap people fall into. It's called the fear of man, the book of Proverbs says. Where we care more about what people think than what God thinks. God forbid. God forbid. Jesus said this. This was Jesus' encouragement in Matthew chapter 10. Do not fear those who kill the body. Sounds like Patrick believed that, didn't it? But cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Jesus said, fear God. So there is a healthy sense in which we should fear God, right? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the book of Proverbs says. But do you fear God in an unhealthy manner? You can do that too. There are people. Twitter's an amazing thing. I'm counseling a person on Twitter. Never met the person. It's amazing. She's from New York. She is afraid, and every time we start a conversation, I'm afraid that God hasn't forgiven me. Now, I don't know if she's truly saved or not, but there are Christians that still fear that God will hold their sins eternally against them. Guys, that is an irrational fear that does not believe the gospel. In 1 John chapter 3, you know, John was a smart guy. He understood this. He wrote in chapter 3, verse 20, whenever our heart condemns us, hey, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. I want to extend grace to you this morning. Don't fear Satan. Don't fear men. Fear God in a responsible way. Keep his commandments. So, godly Saint Patrick. I put it in quotation marks. I shouldn't. But here's the reality. You're a saint too. I'm a saint. If you have trusted Christ, Paul, over and over, says to those, he says, to the saints who are at Ephesus, to the saints who are at Corinth, to the saints who are in Thessalonica, we're all saints. We just don't get a day named after us. And that's probably good. Let me ask you a question today and wrap it up. Do you know this salvation? God's ability to save knows no boundaries. If you know this, do you know this salvation? Are you saved today? Do you know this love? And are you extending it to others? Do you know the power of God? I encourage you today, if you're not saved, if you're not certain that your sins are forgiven, the Bible says very plainly, today is the day of salvation. There is no day like today. There is no day but today. You can't go back to tomorrow. You can't leap forward into the future. You can't guarantee that tomorrow will come. Today is all you have. Today is the day that you say, I want to know this power that is greater than Satan's. I want to experience this love. I want to know this salvation that crashes through all boundaries. It crashes through emotional boundaries. It crashes through physical boundaries. It crashes through relational boundaries. There is nothing that can stop God's salvation once he sets his mind to it. Will you be saved today? Now is the day. But secondly, if you do know these things, there's two ways you ought to react. Number one, rejoice. Rejoice! It is because of people like Patrick that you know the Lord today. The gospel came over to Europe and it flourished. And then people from Europe came over here. They brought the gospel with them. I'm not saying they treated the Native Americans right in every respect. But man, every Native American that's saved today can point back to missionaries that came over and brought them the gospel. Isn't that a beautiful thing? If you're saved today, rejoice in God's salvation, in his love, and in his power. Take some time to actually do it. And secondly, be like Patrick. Share it with others. Share God's ability to save with others. You know what? Use this. Use St. Patrick's Day as a springboard. Hey, did you celebrate St. Patrick's Day? Is there a parade in Big Spring or anything like that? Midland? I don't know. Probably got to go to Dallas or Lubbock. Start a conversation with somebody. Start a conversation. Let me tell you about this man that really existed. It's like St. Nicholas, isn't it? He was a real man too. And now we have all this foolishness that's built up around him. There was a real man. We can learn some awesome things. Let's share the love of God with others like he did. Father in heaven, We ask now that you would bless us with your peace, that you would convict us of sin. Father, I know that some of us, myself included, need to feel the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Others need to be encouraged because they're in fear. Others need to be encouraged to fear you more. Father, whatever the case may be, however you're dealing with each person's heart, I pray that you would mightily save, mightily sanctify. In Jesus' name, amen.